Hi everyone, it's me, Sandy Cruz of Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. For years now, I've been bringing to you conversations about wellness from experts from all over the world. Whether it be suggestions in how you can age better, biohacking, alternative wellness, these are conversations to help you live your best life. I want to live a long, healthy, and vibrant life. Never mind all those stigmas that as we reach midlife and beyond, we're just going to shrivel up and die with some horrible disease. Always remember, balanced living works. I really look forward to this season. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have Dr. Carolyn Dean, and we're going to talk all about magnesium. I would actually personally say Dr. Carolyn is the OG of teaching us about magnesium, and her book, The Magnesium Miracle, has actually become one of the most highly referenced publications on magnesium, both by healthcare practitioners and consumers. So definitely stick around for this conversation. I'll give you an update on my book. Most of you who follow me, by the way, go follow me on all of my socials. Sandy K Nutrition is everywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, not really that much on Twitter, but I am there. I'm on Pinterest. I'm also on Threads. I'm on TikTok. And definitely you can find me anywhere on the socials, just Sandy K Nutrition, even on YouTube. I am publishing all of my content on YouTube now as well. So if you are following me on all of those social media outlets, you know I'm writing a book. So I am an English literature graduate. I am also a registered holistic nutritionist. I'm also a certified metabolic balance coach. I also have certifications in endocrinology and hormones, as well as peptides and anti-aging. Yes, I've been a busy girl, but all of this really enables me to provide insight on wellness, on how we can be proactive with our health. And I actually came up with a title. So my book is called Bridging the Gap Between Body and Soul. Something that I've seen after many years now of being in this industry of wellness is that there isn't a lot, a lot of merit given to practices that really enhance the wellness of our, not just our body, but our soul, our spirit. And I feel that it's really important that I write a book that bridges all of this to be proactive with our health and wellness and to age better. So look out for it, you guys, and definitely follow me wherever you do social media. Another thing to note, my podcast has hit 120,000 downloads last month. That is crazy. And I am about to hit 1 million downloads globally. So I haven't even hit 4 years yet. I think February or March is when it'll be 4 years since I started my podcast. It was right before the pandemic. So I am blown away by all of your support. And I appreciate you guys so, so much for listening every week, for sharing my content. That means a ton, by the way. And also, if you could just rate and review my podcast with just a few kind words, it really helps to spread the word that we can age better. We can look at other options and other solutions to optimize our health beyond the age of 40 and up. So please do that for me if you can. I would greatly appreciate it. And definitely send me a note, sandy@sandyknutrition.ca. I love to hear from you guys. I love to hear any feedback, any ideas for shows. If you are a business and you're listening to this podcast, note that I am planning my 2024. I'm actually being pretty strategic with businesses that I really want to partner with, that I want to align with. Podcasts are the way to go. And there's not a whole lot of us female podcasting voices in the space of longevity, health span, lifespan, aging better, alternative wellness, all of these things. So if you are a business and you want to partner with me, send me an email now because we're in November and I'm planning my 2024, sandy@sandyknutrition.ca. And now let's cut on through to this amazing interview with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today, I have a special guest. Her name is Dr. Carolyn Dean, and she developed her diverse medical education by researching nutrients, homeopathy, and other alternative therapies almost 5 decades ago while studying to be an MD at Dalhousie Medical School in Halifax, Nova Scotia, so a fellow Canadian. And after she graduated from medical school, Dr. Dean began to integrate her application of alternative therapies alongside traditional allopathic medicine as she became one of the first functional medicine doctors in Canada. Her credentials include training as a certified dietitian nutritionist, a naturopath, and Chinese medicine herbalist, and she used those modalities in her private practice and subsequent work in Canada, the United States, and internationally. Now, she wrote the book, The Magnesium Miracle, which has become the most highly referenced books on magnesium. And I did do a show on magnesium, and now we're going to do a little bit of a deeper dive on magnesium, and we're going to talk about some of the actual ailments that are associated with a deficiency in magnesium. And so with that, welcome, Dr. Dean. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you, Sandy, and please call me Carolyn.
Okay. Well, you know, I have to start with Dr. Dean. You've earned the right to be called Dr. Dean, but I have to ask you because you have such a unique training and unique background, and you were doing functional medicine long before it was a thing. So talk to me about your background.
Well, I think we could just say what I do is common sense. I went into medicine in my mid-20s after having, so this was in the mid-70s, after reading the few health books that were on the market at the time, Pavel Airola, Adele Davis. I mean, there were only a few people who were out there. But I was intrigued. My husband of 55 plus years and I had traveled from Nova Scotia to California back in the hippie days, but we weren't interested in any of that or drugs. I was on a health circuit. And I met these luminaries, and I was just very excited about diet and nutrition and lifestyle. And I realized nobody was really interested. And I was in a bachelor science program with honors in biology. And a couple of guys in one of my classes one day said to me, "Hey, did you get accepted?" And I said, "Well, I feel pretty accepted." And these two young punks, I think they were like 19, they just got accepted into med school. And I said, "What? They're accepting?" Yeah. So I marched over to the dean of medicine office. And who did I find as the assistant to the dean? but my high school guidance counselor, Miss Elliott. I said, Miss Elliott, you did me wrong. I should have been, you know, streamed to go into medicine. But what did she tell? Oh, yeah, I could be an executive secretary or a nurse. Seriously. I was, you know, in messing around the top three in our high school for marks, and I was vice president of the student council, blah, blah. So she said, okay, let's fix this. So I had all the prerequisites except one. I did that, and I got accepted into the next semester of med school. And I haven't looked back. But what I thought when I got in is that doctors should be teaching their patients more about diet and lifestyle and all the rest of it. Because when you read that someone who can give up sugar and coffee and cigarettes feels so much better and their diseases drop away, you think, okay, well, we should be telling people that. But instead, medicine, it really did go to the dark side. Even when I was in med school, our little doctor bags were being supplied by drug companies. You know, things were sponsored by drug companies. And also, it was a very patriarchal system.
Yes.
I mean, my quick story about that is day one of our first year in med school, a clinician walks in with his little briefcase and he has a slide deck up on the projector. And the first slide that's shown to introduce our class to medicine and what would happen to us in the next year, the first slide was a nude female picture. Hmm. Nude female. Because in our 100-person class, usually there were about 25 females and 75 males. In my class, there was an enormous jump to 33 females. And nobody knew each other. You know, the men sort of laughed. The women were just stunned. So what did I do? I marched over to a biochemistry friend I'd met, a professor in med school, wicked sense of humor. I went to the drugstore first, got a copy of Playgirl magazine with nude male shots. I gave him the magazine. I said, make me some slides. So the next 2 days later, on a Thursday, clinician walks in to repeat his performance. First slide shown, male nude. He grabbed his briefcase, almost tripped and fell, ran out of the room, and never came back. The class just exploded. Every nude female picture in Dalhousie University was taken down. They were all, I was told later, they were all over the labs, you know, because it was a male patriarchal system.
Right.
But instead of, you know, picketing and saying, you're so bad, we don't like you, I took action. I just gave them what they were giving, and it stopped everything. So that's my life. That's what I've done ever since.
Wow, what a story. I love it, Carolyn. I love it. You were a trailblazer way back when it was hard to be that. Much harder.
Wow. Oh, I know. But I'm not a big person. And, you know, I'm kind of a comedian, so I would cajole my way into things. In my internship at Mount Sinai up in Toronto, I cajoled somebody into letting me do acupuncture on patients because I had done an acupuncture elective in my second year of medicine. Oh, yes, and then in fourth year, I went down to California for a two-month elective. By fourth year, I had moved. I have a crazy life. I had moved from Dalhousie up to Hamilton, Ontario, into the McMaster program. And my husband, he was a student of Marshall McLuhan, so he wanted to be doing his thing. So I asked for a transfer from Dalhousie to McMaster, And that had never been done before. Never in the history of anywhere do med students transfer colleges. But McMaster had this tutorial system that they had been working with, which means students weren't in general lectures, you know, all 100 people listening to the same thing. They actually had groups of 6 students that would study something, research it, write something, who knows what they were doing. But actually, they never wrote exams for their 4 years. So I arrived there in the 4th year. They were all petrified about the exams that would be held at the end of their 4th year, the national boards. I had been studying, you know, my little brains out for 3 years, and I was ready for hospital work. So instead of doing hospital work, most of the students, they tried to get out of hospital work and were studying. I was on the wards as what we called a clerk. 4th year medicine was a clerk. And because I was the only one on the floors, I got to do everything. In medicine, when you see a procedure, the next time you do the procedure, and the next time that procedure comes up, you teach it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was operating, so the clerk seeing the intern doing and a resident teaching, I was operating at a resident level as a clerk. So that when I got into my true internship at Mount Sinai, I was just breezing. It was in my internship I began taking postgrad naturopathic courses, which eventually led to my naturopathic degree. So, yeah, I've been blessed. I've lived a very blessed life. But all along the way, you know, I could see, you know, there was no emphasis on natural medicine. There were no nutrients being taught.
Yeah.
We had a lot of biochemistry. The dean of medicine, when I went, he was a biochemist, so there were 200 hours of biochemistry. And seriously, on the, you know, on the wall, the projector was showing these biochemical pathways. You looked up and you saw the Krebs cycle and the glycolysis cycle before the Krebs cycle. And you'd see magnesium everywhere, magnesium. But did they mention the word magnesium? No. I mean, to this day, even though mostly alternative medicine doctors are talking about the mitochondria and the importance, well, the mitochondria is where the Krebs cycle is active. And in the mitochondria, you need magnesium. No talk about it at all. So, you know, my whole focus is magnesium. I wrote the magnesium book.
Yeah.
But from there, everything stretches out. So back to you, Sandy.
Wow. I mean, I love it. I love it because, number one, you're a medical doctor that continues with learning.
Oh.
Right?
Absolutely.
And you're not in your silo. So, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing. Like, I'm looking at all areas of wellness. I'm not a doctor. I'm an RHN, you know, here in Canada, a registered holistic nutritionist. I went to college. It was a 2-year diploma, whatever. It's not the same as a doctor, but I was taught the science. I was taught pathology. I was taught chemistry. I was taught all of that. And the one thing that I have to continue doing, which I really respect with what you've done in your life, is you jump out of that silo of being a medical, Western-trained medical doctor to learn the other ways in which people can mm-hmm. optimize their health, right? Because we know it's not, we don't live in a silo, right?
Well, Sandy, I never jumped into that silo.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you have. You're right.
That's my blessing.
Yeah.
I went into medicine, as I said, knowing about nutrition and thinking, you know, well, where can I find it here? And I didn't find it.
Yeah.
So when I when I went into practice, which was the day after I got my medical license, the day after, I didn't even take a break.
I love it.
So I was practicing as a naturopath rather than, you know, thinking about drugs first. I went to, well, what are you eating? And what's your stress level?
Yeah.
So it was natural to me to just create that atmosphere with my patients that you had to take responsibility for your health. But anyway, so I joke with some of my alternative medicine doctor friends and say, look, I didn't have to kill a few patients and then realize I was doing the wrong thing. Because that's what happened to a lot of these doctors who, well, you know, after 5 years, I realized I wasn't helping anybody. And by not helping anybody, it meant these doctors were, what, a patient would come in and their blood pressure would be a little elevated. And they'd say, well, you know, it's been a bit elevated for a year now. Let's put you on a diuretic.
Today, I want to talk to you about oral health. Yes, I'm talking about the health of your teeth and of your gums. Most of you who follow my podcast know that I actually had to have a dental implant in the spring. While the procedure itself wasn't too bad, it's the aftermath that I had to worry about. Post-surgery, I had some inflammation and some cankers, and the one thing that I used regularly was the Silver Biotics tooth gel. Now, if you don't know much about colloidal silver, I'm going to ask you to go and check out my episode 163, Nature's Powerful Antimicrobial, because you're going to learn how powerful Silver Biotics, colloidal silver, tooth gel can be for inflamed gums, and it actually naturally promotes healthy teeth and gums. So it's great for that inflammation. It's also great for reducing the bile load in the mouth. And that, my friends, creates a healthy oral bacteria and balance. I, of course, have a special discount for my listeners. Go to silverbiotics.com and use my code SANDYK30 for 30% off, and you can try it yourself. And by the way, it tastes great. Also, be sure to listen to my podcast episode 163 so you can learn more about the powers of colloidal silver from silverbiotics.com.
So they go on a diuretic. And what causes high blood pressure in the first place is often magnesium deficiency. You take a diuretic and you're draining off more magnesium.
Right.
And then they go back after a month to get their blood pressure tested. Oh, it's still elevated. We better give you a calcium channel blocker, a beta blocker. So they're on a couple more drugs. They come back in another 2-3 months to get a blood test to make sure the drugs aren't affecting their liver. And all of a sudden, their cholesterol is elevated because of the drugs, and their blood sugar is elevated because of the drugs. So they're put on a statin for their cholesterol and put on metformin or something for the blood sugar.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is what's happening.
Yep.
And that's just a small little wedge of it. Because what happened, was it 5-7 years ago? Somebody decided that, well, you know, we could be doing better with blood pressure if we told people that instead of 140 over 90 being the beginnings of blood pressure, let's tell them 130 over 80 is high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. And we'll get them on their drugs earlier, and then we'll be able to help them. They have no idea what they're doing. It's not even common sense that you keep doing the same bad thing and get the same bad result. But they will never move over to the little box of, well, maybe people should eat better. They don't have time to tell people even to
eat
better or to exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Time is huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most people, you know, have what, 5 minutes with their doctors when they go in for an appointment?
Yeah.
And this is why, honestly, like where I live, Carolyn, it's a socialized healthcare. And my advice to everyone is to, instead of taking $5 and paying for a Starbucks coffee every day, put it away in a jar for a personal healthcare spending account. For and I'm saying personal because I get it. It's expensive these days. It's hard to live in Canada right now. I don't know how bad it is where you are, but I think it's a problem that's pretty prevalent all over the world. Cost of living is crazy everywhere. And the facts are is that we gotta get creative with how we can put money aside for that. I call it a wellness piggy bank. So,
you know what happens though, Sandy, when you start taking enough magnesium and you're saturated with magnesium, you don't have to drink coffee for your energy hit. You don't need sugar for your energy hit or the carbohydrates. You know, but we'll talk about it. I mean, there are different types of magnesium. So you have to choose the right one because I got nailed with magnesium deficiency with whatever is in my genetics or my stress patterns. Yeah. But I had severe magnesium deficiency, and I didn't find that out until when I was living in Manhattan doing AIDS and chronic fatigue research. Random House asked me to write a book on magnesium. And I thought, wow, you know, how can you write a whole 300-page book on one mineral?
Yeah.
Come to find out that, you know, my tight scalp and my eye twitching and my headaches and neck pain and leg cramps and on and on and on and heart palpitations were magnesium deficiency. But when I looked at my multiple and it was only a few milligrams and I went to get more magnesium, I immediately got the laxative effect.
Yes. Yeah.
Immediately. Now, not everybody does, but it eventually led me to work with a chemist who makes a picometer size stabilized ion of magnesium that does not cause the laxative effect because it's so readily absorbed. You know, when you take a magnesium compound, like we start with magnesium chloride. We break it up, stabilize the magnesium. It stays stable for years. We have laser studies that show that there's no particles in our magnesium, which is absurd sounding, but it's because they're in the picometer size. So we've got to stabilize magnesium, whereas other, if it's just a magnesium chloride compound or magnesium citrate or whatever, the blood, these compounds in the bloodstream have to solubilize the compound into its different ions. So for a fraction of a second, it'll break apart, and then it's in that fraction of the second that the magnesium can jump into a cell. Because magnesium is so reactive, it'll just grab. And sidebar, what it grabs onto as well is fluoride, fluorine molecules in the water supply. In most of our common drugs, there's fluoride. Look at any drug chemistry. You just Google the drug name and put chemistry and look for the F, and you get fluoride. And in the intestines, the intestinal bacteria will break down these fluoride compounds, like ciprofloxacin is one, Lipitor, the statin drug, is another, Flonase, the
oh yeah, antihistamine. Yeah.
They're all fluoride drugs. Oh. So the fluoride breaks off, and what does it do? It looks for magnesium because it's so reactive. Makes a magnesium fluoride compound that deposits in tendons, ligaments, and joints. We have an FDA black box warning on ciprofloxacin, the antibiotic, black box warning on tendon rupture, and they will not say why, but I think I know why. Isn't that crazy?
You just blew my mind. So
I do that.
Oh my God, I had no idea. So what you're saying is I want to try and make it as easily understood. You're saying that certain drugs that contain fluoride will attach to any magnesium in your body, and then it actually makes it what? Unusable, or it settles in the tendons or ligaments and it wreaks havoc in that area? Like, is that like calcification or no? That's a different thing, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like a calcification. I'm sure it's misdiagnosed as a calcification.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it does solidify in these areas, and it makes the magnesium unavailable. So, you know, in that fraction of a second when the magnesium compound disassociates, magnesium is free. If there's fluoride around, boom, it attaches, makes MGF2, and then goes to the tendons for some reason. I mean, this is a known fact. But the drug companies will say, well, you know, we take these drugs, and in the Petri dish, they don't break apart like
that. They don't react.
Fluoride is very stable. And they put the fluoride in. Why did they do that? So that these drugs can more easily get across the cell membrane, the fatty layer of the cell membrane. Apparently, the fluoride will just ram right through. Anyway, you've got the calcification happening. You've got the stellate happening. You've got diminishment of magnesium. And what's the therapy? It's taking more magnesium, because magnesium will solubilize calcium, and magnesium also will kind of overcome the fact that you've lost this magnesium to the tendons. And then certainly as cells turn over, they will drop out with their magnesium fluoride, you know, brittle compound. So you can renew your tissues. I mean, we know that. You can even renew your brain tissue. But anyway, the solution, let me start with this. 80% of known metabolic functions require magnesium.
Yep.
80. I mean, that is just phenomenal.
So let's name some. Let's name, so people know, what are some of the metabolic processes that magnesium's involved in?
Making cholesterol. Making and unmaking cholesterol. So what happens with this enzymatic pathway that makes cholesterol, if you have enough, then the process quits. You know, it's called, you know, biofeedback. The body's always working on that, you know, feedback system. But in medicine, if you've got high cholesterol, what do? They kill that enzyme, coenzyme reductase, and they kill it dead, so that your cholesterol can get so low that you're not producing the hormones that you require.
Right.
You're affecting your brain matter, so that people who are on cholesterol drugs, you know, that's why they need Viagra. That's why the men need Viagra, because they've lost their cholesterol to the statin drugs.
Yeah.
And that's why.
And their sex hormones.
Yes. And that's why there's a lot of senility and, you know, various brain imbalances, aphasias or whatever, because of the lack of cholesterol. So, I mean, there's cholesterol. There's the fact that magnesium is necessary to open up the cell mineral ion channels to allow calcium in to a nerve cell or a muscle cell. And the nerve or muscle cell will fire and activate and do their thing. But then the magnesium pulls the calcium back out. If there's not enough magnesium, that cell can remain open and calcium just floods in and activates itself to death. And that's where you get, you know, any of the, get this, any of the 600 muscles in the body can go into spasm.
Yes.
So right there, Sandy, we've got 600 diseases, potential diseases.
Totally.
Any one of the 45 miles of nerves can be hyperactivated. You know, the eye twitching that people get, the burning fingers, the diabetic neuropathies, they can be partly magnesium deficiency. Because one of the signs of diabetes is magnesium deficiency. And doctors don't even pay attention to that. In the medical books, it says magnesium deficiency is associated with diabetes. I will go on.
Okay, I'm going to interject because I remember seeing this from Dr. Mark Hyman. I'm sure you know who he is. He had a post once and he said, if you feel any tightness at all, anywhere, if you feel any tightness, any twitching, any real strain, you need magnesium, period. End of story.
Right?
Yep. I take it for migraines. Like I take it for many reasons, and I take different ones, different forms, which I know we'll get into. But I've, there are specific ones that I take when I get a migraine, just because it will really, and there's some that actually will break the blood-brain barrier, right? Breakthrough.
All of them do.
All of them do? Because they say.
All of them do.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're clarifying this.
Yeah. That was a huge marketing program by the magnesium L-threonate.
Yes. People. Yes.
They patented magnesium L-threonate. They patented. And then they did a study. It was an animal study. And it showed that in the cerebral spinal fluid, the magnesium L-threonate compared to, I think it was a magnesium citrate, was 7% higher than the comparison. The threonate, 7% higher. With that 7%, they did this huge, probably $1 million marketing campaign saying, well, we're the only magnesium that can get into the brain. Seriously, magnesium oxide that's 4% absorbed, you can dig out the studies that show that it has brain effects. So it is get any bit of magnesium that will break apart from its compound and jump into a cell and can get into the brain. I mean, it's a picometer size when it's an ion. There's a, I'm trying to remember the name of this book out of an Australian university, and it's online. You can look up magnesium and brain function. Maybe I'll give it to you for your show notes.
Okay.
Because that book, I tell people, print it up, take it to your doctor, because it's got study after study showing the effects of magnesium. A lot of the original magnesium research was on magnesium oxide.
Okay.
Because some smart lady who owned a magnesium oxide company gave magnesium oxide to all the magnesium researchers. So their studies were on magnesium oxide. No matter what magnesium you take, you will have a beneficial effect.
On the brain and everywhere.
Right. So magnesium is just that important since it's needed by 80% of the body. What I ran into, though, and where, you know, my work differs, it's personal. I got the laxative effect. Magnesium oxide would have me, you know, in the bathroom all day.
Yeah.
So there's no way I could take it. So the chemist that I work with, this picometer stabilized ion, and I'm not even going to mention the name of it. The FDA won't let Americans who own supplement companies say that their products can help people. They won't let us say that we can help people.
Why?
It's It's called making a medical claim.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to say this picometer magnesium, when we got it going and we were doing the original trials, I was able to take 1,200 milligrams. From not being able to take 50 milligrams, I could take 1,200 milligrams, put that in my sea salt water, dip it through the day, and my heart palpitations and everything else just drifted away. Now, it took time. I had immediate beneficial effects, sleeping better, less tension and all. But it took a year and a half before I was really convinced that I could take a day off of my magnesium, a day or two off, and I would not get my heart palpitations back. And also, I began to get the laxative effect. So the 4 teaspoons became 3 teaspoons and then became 2 teaspoons. And now I only need a teaspoon and a half because I'm already saturated. And here I am in my mid-70s feeling better than I did in my 30s.
Okay.
Because in my 30s.
Yeah, I have to ask you this because I don't want to forget. You're saying saturated. So It's essentially what you're doing is doing like a loading dose. Until you reach saturation, and then you kind of scale it back down again. Does that make sense?
Yes, but you know, when we talk about loading doses with drugs, it's usually over a few days.
Yeah, I never talk about drugs, just so you know.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, so this can go on for months. I mean, we start with like a quarter teaspoon in the sea salted water, because hydration is monumentally important.
Yes.
If you don't have water to pull, you know, for your minerals to be dissolved in and for the minerals to be inside a cell, that's what will draw in the water, osmosis. You have to have a higher amount of minerals in your cells than in the blood, so that the water can preferentially go into your cell. And what makes a cell nice and plump and happy is water.
Yes.
You know, when you're dehydrated, your cells are all flat and they're not working properly. So hydration to me is you take your body weight in pounds, you divide that in half. So you're 100 pounds, then you drink 50 ounces of water a day. And into each liter or quart of water, you put a quarter teaspoon of a good sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
What makes a good sea salt, it's got to have some color in it. You know, pink Himalayan or the orange Celtic. If it's a white sea salt, it means it's been processed away from its minerals. So you start, you know, I started with, a quarter, then a half, and then a 3/4, then a whole teaspoon, and worked my way up. If you were to take this picometer magnesium, take all 4 teaspoons at once, you would get the laxative effect. Because your cells aren't going to be able to hold that much. So that's why you're starting it slowly, getting your cells used to it, and also getting your bodies used to it. People who I say have total body meltdown, this is my term for burnout, because it's more than burnout. It's the adrenals are weakened, the thyroid is not working, sex hormones are turned off, the liver is clogged up, you know, everything, total body meltdown. I thought at first it was kind of a rude comment, but then people say that describes exactly what's going on. So people who have that sort of chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, total body burnout, if you gave them too much of a good magnesium, it could make them feel hyper, and they just don't have the energy to deal with that. They think there's something wrong. The hyperness turns into anxiety and concern. So everything, I guess it's even in my dietary supplement company, I attract the sickest of the sick people who've tried everything. And so we're very clear about telling people to start slowly on anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the different forms, kind of what you're saying is that, because, you know, I've been taught, okay, I'll tell you what I've been taught. Magnesium glycine or glycinate, bisglycinate, good for muscle soreness, good for sleep. Magnesium L-threonate, good for the brain, good for migraine, anything like that. Magnesium citrate or citrate, tomato, tomato. I often say citrate. I know citrate is the other way. That's great for people who have trouble going to the bathroom. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
no, but think of it. You did a great interview with a friend of mine, Linda Bolton.
Yeah.
And she is Natural Calm Canada.
Yes.
And as far as I know, it's still a magnesium citrate.
Yes.
And yes, they'll say, oh, that's good for constipation. But Linda can tell you, you know, a thousand stories about people who her magnesium citrate has helped every condition from head to foot. So magnesium is magnesium. And because I know about the stabilized ionic part, and I know I could take 1,200 milligrams. I mean, with Natural Calm, I couldn't take that because of it gave me the laxative effect. Yeah. I mean, that's why I told Linda, and I heard her on the podcast saying, yes, you know, and she still calls me Dr. Dean. She says, yes, Dr. Dean said, you know, put the Natural Calm in your drink and sip it through the day. And that's what, you know, I've been telling people for years. So, yes, I don't think the compounds make much difference. As I was saying about the magnesium L-threonate study.
Yeah.
And they talk about it good for the brain. That threonate itself or threonine itself has brain effects. So they're mixing it up. You know, it's not just a magnesium effect that you're getting with that compound. And what did they do? It's patented. They made their big marketing push, and then they tripled the price of it.
Yes, it's so very expensive. This I can attest to.
Yes, and when you look at the label, it says on the front of the label, it says 2,000 milligrams of. It just says 2,000 milligrams. It might say magnesium L-threonate. So you think, oh, great, I'm getting 2,000 milligrams of magnesium. You turn the label over, the elemental amount, I think, of one capsule is like 44 milligrams.
Yeah, it's low. It's low. Yeah.
So.
No. And I'm going to say one more thing just to add to what you're saying. So magnesium glycinate, I'm big on amino acids. Glycine in and of itself will help you sleep, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like adding the glycine to the magnesium, and then they're saying magnesium glycinate for sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
And the way they separate it out, like you were saying, that the different compounds, meaning the marketers of these dietary supplements, had to come up with a story about what each of them does to differentiate.
Yep.
It's just a story. There's no research. There are no companies doing research on their products except the threonate people, and then they lie about it. Sorry, but actually my company, we're doing absorption studies. We're promoting the fact that the testing for magnesium is illegitimate. It's not helping us find the severe magnesium deficiency in the population, which is 70 to 80% of us are low in magnesium. Our studies are looking at ionized magnesium testing, where you look for the ions. The ions are what you want to get into the cells. I work with a picometer stabilized ion of magnesium, so that's going to get into cells. So we're doing absorption studies for ionized magnesium. And you say, oh, great, let me get an ionized magnesium test. It's only available in research labs and some ICUs, but Just the other day, one of our spin-off studies, we saved the blood from our first absorption study for 2 years, tested the magnesium in that frozen blood, and found that we had exact comparable levels of magnesium in the blood from 2 years ago fresh and frozen blood for 2 years. So we can freeze blood, send it off to an ionized magnesium machine and get it tested and start getting people diagnosed properly.
That's what I was going to ask you, because right now, okay, so let's say I want to know. I want to know if I'm magnesium deficient, okay? We know that the stats say 70 to 80% of people are, but I want to know. I want to go to my doctor and say, give me a blood test. Is that going to give me an accurate measurement of if I'm, no, it's not, right? Because blood, isn't blood more like the transporter of the minerals?
Right. I mean, your minerals aren't going to work in the blood.
Right.
They work in the cell.
Right.
So only 1% of the total body amount of magnesium is in your blood, your serum.
Yeah.
So when you do a serum magnesium test, you're just testing this little tiny bit. But that little tiny bit is important because it brings the blood and the minerals and the magnesium to, say, your heart.
Right.
Your heart is one big muscle. And if it doesn't have enough magnesium, it'll cramp, you know, cause angina, and eventually can cause heart attacks. So the serum magnesium, now get this, Sandy, this is so interesting. The range of serum magnesium is 0.75 to 0.95. Now, it doesn't matter anything else, just that seems to be a tiny, tiny range.
Right.
And what happens, because the heart is so important and it needs magnesium as the most important electrolyte, it's as soon as you go below the 0.75, mechanisms jump into place to pull magnesium out of muscles and bones. So your serum magnesium is always going to look good unless you're just, you know, twitching away.
Yeah.
Twitching away on a dialysis machine. Because when you do dialysis, it pulls out your magnesium. I know nephrologists, famous one in Toronto, Jason.
Yeah. Tom. Yeah. I know him.
He's an awesome guy. He says his dialysis patients are so deficient in magnesium, he has to give them IV magnesium.
Wow.
So, and what we know about kidney disease, they tell anybody who has a little inkling of, you know, their GFR, their glomerular fractionation rate in their kidneys is going off and has a little bit of kidney disease. Oh, you can't take magnesium.
Yes, I've heard that. I've heard that same thing. Yeah.
So they're killing patients who need magnesium to help their kidneys. So anyway, that serum level is kept like, you know, sacrosanct. The next one, the test that you may want, and I know I have Canadian customers who say they can't get a red blood cell magnesium, RBC magnesium. It's a little better. It has a wider range. But hear this, about 10 years ago, the range was 4.2 to 6.8, 4.2 to 6.8. And now the range is 3.2 to 6.5.
Mm.
As people get more magnesium deficient, the range goes down because the range is based on the sick population, got nothing to do with health. So you, again, can be twitching and seized up and your heart palpitating and your 3.2 RBC magnesium and it won't even be flagged. Your doctor won't even look at the test.
Okay.
It won't be flagged and you won't know.
It's a perfect time just to say, because I have a doctor here with me, people. So I'm going to just say there is a big difference between functional or optimized lab test results and regular lab tests. I just wanted to put that in there just because, you know, I'm trained in functional lab testing for nutritionists. I can't do any of that. Obviously, I can't do any testing, but it's good for me to understand tests. So thank you for mentioning that, Carolyn, because most lab values and ranges are based on sick population who are not optimized.
Yeah, it's very, very, again, very sad. People are being misdiagnosed. And what I did in the Magnesium Miracle and the new book I have coming out, Magnesium, The Missing Link to Total Health, I tried to condense, you know, what I've learned in the 6 years since the last edition of the Magnesium Miracle. And there are 68 conditions that I look at as being magnesium deficiency.
Can we get into
those? Asthma, the smooth muscles of your bronchial tubes without magnesium go into spasm. And that's what causes wheezing and can...
Just a thought. What about long COVID?
Oh, yeah.
I just thought of that now that you said asthma and, you know?
And lungs, yeah. Totally. Let's jump to long COVID because that's very important. I call, you know, long COVID the new face of magnesium deficiency.
Wow.
When I was in Toronto in practice, I started seeing some of the first cases of chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. And I was working with an immunologist and we were doing blood tests and what's going on with the T cells and everything. What I came to, he didn't really, but I came to people with yeast overgrowth and nutrient deficiency. Since then, I've defined it more as magnesium deficiency and yeast overgrowth. So how does that play out in COVID? And, you know, most of COVID was fear. It was totally fear-based.
Totally.
Well, totally.
A lot of it.
Comorbidities and fear-based. So, you know, the flu season comes every year. People say, oh, okay, I'm going to get the flu. And maybe they get their shots. But in terms of flu vaccinations, you look at the Cochrane report, a meta-analysis on looking at the benefits of flu vaccinations over the whatever decades we've been using them. What is the benefit of a flu shot? 1-2%.
Wow.
1-2% of people will avoid having the flu if they take the flu shot. That's within the margin of error, for Pete's sake. What happened actually mimics what happened to me in New York. In Manhattan, in the early 90s, I was down there doing a study using homeopathic acupuncture injectables for AIDS and chronic fatigue. This is before AZT and certainly before any AIDS vaccine. And what was happening is Fauci was telling people not to do anything and just to wait for the drug that they were making. So all the people in my study went over to AZT as soon as it was announced. And of course, they all died in the early years that they were using such high doses.
Wow.
Same thing happened with COVID. Oh, you know, yeah, we got this horrible marauding virus and we're all going to get it, but don't do anything about it. We're working on a vaccine. And if you get sick, come to the hospital and we'll give you whatever drugs we can and put you on a respirator. I mean, forgetting or not knowing or the common sense of what every naturopathic and, you know, any housewife and house husband knows to you know, have your chicken soup and your vitamin C and your zinc and your vitamin D and, yeah, and your magnesium.
Yeah.
Because magnesium makes vitamin D work. The zinc, if you have a picometer zinc, it goes right into your cells. You don't need the hydroxychloroquine or the ivermectin to open up the cells to zinc. That's what those drugs do. Mm. They're ionophores, I-O-N-O-P-H-O-R-E-S, that open up cells to zinc. So if the people had zinc on board when they took the ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, that worked. That's why they can't figure out the studies. Why does it work for everybody?
Yeah.
So we blew it as human beings, as the, you know, doctors. I have my following in terms of my my online dietary supplement company. So we weren't telling people how to treat COVID. We were just telling people how to keep their immune system up.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And, you know, fingers crossed, everybody was fine. But to say to people, go home, worry yourself to death, and don't come back until you're really sick.
Yeah.
It's not medicine.
No.
It is not the Hippocratic Oath. It has nothing to do with, you know, even being a human being.
No.
But it happens all the time. And seriously, right now, I'm going to totally sidebar. I live in Maui. And what just happened in Maui a month ago?
Yeah.
A wildfire. And I'm displaying, my charitable foundation, I created wristbands to help promote our foundation. My foundation supports a biodynamic organic farm. And what did we do the day after the fires? We shipped 1,000 pounds of fresh produce over to the soup kitchens that were thrown up immediately by people who lost their restaurants. They immediately said, we have to feed these people.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in Maui is taking part in this. And what happened here is a failure on every level of bureaucracy and government. Just like medicine failed people, pharma failed people over here, the electric company failed us because they didn't maintain their wires. And it was during a hurricane and the windstorm, the electric started sparking. The dry brush that wasn't cleared from underneath the electric lines. There was no water in the fire hydrants. I mean, the level of culpability is just so palpable.
Yeah.
And I think we've gotten to the point where none of us is taking responsibility for the whole picture. There's a Hawaiian prayer. I think a lot of us are saying it here now. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Mm.
So I love, I'm sorry for my part in not taking part. Please forgive me for not being there. And thank you.
Mm.
It does say it all.
Yeah.
And we do have, and I don't mean like a martyr or anything. It's like I said about in med school where I put up the nude male slide. Just take action.
Yeah.
You know, the next day we sent the farm food. I ordered the bracelet. I volunteer at our farm store and in one of our markets. And we just give out the information for people, you know, donate or whatever. But we're part of the charities in Maui and we receive funding from the bigger charities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, we make use of them. But, I mean, the whole thing is taking personal responsibility for your own health, learning, using your common sense. We have to have our spidey senses on.
We do.
Full time, because everything is fake now.
Yeah.
You know, everything is fake. So,
well, it's like, it's also like what's, you know, people don't even understand what's in their food right now. You're speaking of fake, you know, that's a whole other conversation. about, you know, people don't even understand. They look at the label and they're like, I don't even know what this means, but it's what's on the shelf. So it must be safe for me. Right?
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's the same with doctors. When a doctor gives a patient a drug, the patient thinks, oh, they wouldn't give it to me if it was going to hurt me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, the food, that's why the minute we landed in Maui, and it's 15 years ago, I looked for a farm.
Yeah.
First of all, to get our organic produce, and then to help support. And now I'm at the point where I'm the banker for the farm, and doing what I can to get more farming in Maui. All we've got is tourism.
Yeah.
And what did the levels of stupidity and bureaucracy here? What did the governor and some stupid Hollywood people say? Oh, don't go to Maui. You know, they're suffering. We are totally suffering now because tourism shut down and nobody's working.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
come to Maui.
All right. So let's. I think really the point here is everyone needs to understand how to think critically for themselves. Period. End of story. You got to stop. And you know, this, oh my God, Carolyn, this theme keeps coming up for me in the last few days. We hold a lot of power within us. And when we give it away to them and to them and to them, we are losing ourselves and our own vitality and health. Right?
Yeah, that's the first thing I say every day. I stand in my place of power.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
And then I say, the winds and the waves obey my will.
Mm.
And that's my life.
Beautiful. Okay, we can't finish this conversation. We talked about asthma. We talked about long COVID. We keep getting sidetracked. But a few other, we also talked about heart disease. The heart needs a lot of magnesium to work properly. And I guess really different parts of our body. So tell me if I'm right in this. I don't know if I am. But if we are magnesium deficient, the body is going to utilize that magnesium where it needs it most first. And then let's say you're going to have this weird little toe twitch at night. Well, that's kind of like at the end of that pole of importance. So that could be a sign that you're deficient, or restless leg syndrome, or right?
Absolutely. I mean, you were asking, well, how do people know? And we get off on the blood test, and I was saying, well, you know, do the red blood cell. But what you want to do is stay at the highest level. But I get to the point where I'm producing content for a naturopathic college, an online naturopathic college. They had to go online because of COVID. And the college is called Know Your Wellness. So the content that I'm producing for them in terms of magnesium assessment is a questionnaire.
Oh, good.
And the questionnaire is, you know, are you having migraines, or do you have leg cramps? It sort of identifies, you know, how much stress do you have? Are you drinking a lot of coffee? What medications are you taking? Mm. So that there's 33 things that I have, in a sense, associated with magnesium deficiency, so that a person filling out the questionnaire can say, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm taking this blood pressure pill, or an asthma pill, or an anxiety pill. Anxiety, we haven't even got to, but
oh yeah,
all those questions. Then the person, oh okay, and they're ticking it off. And then at the end, I say, well, you can have any number of symptoms, but if you just have one overwhelming symptom like anxiety, or high blood pressure, or atrial fibrillation, boom, that's magnesium deficiency until proven otherwise. And how can you prove it? You take a picometer magnesium and see if your body responds. So I think the questionnaire is probably the most important way to educate and to get your answer. But okay, I wanna talk about thyroid a little bit. I want to say that now, but I'll let you ask me the next.
Okay, question. I just have one question then, because everyone asks this question, and I've heard of arbitrary numbers. You know, if you're a midlife woman and you move every day, you believe in movement, you're active, whatever, you should take about 5 times your body weight of magnesium. I've heard this. What do you think of that? I know, right? It's arbitrary, but
5 times your body weight. Oh, so if you're 100 pounds.
So yeah. So if you're 100, 500 milligrams of magnesium.
Right. Well, look, what I told you, I'm, you know, between 100 and 110, and I had to take 1,200 milligrams because I had the deficiency.
Right.
Maintenance, I think, is around 600 milligrams for most people.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can't dose magnesium like you do drugs.
Mm.
I think you have to look at your symptoms. I mean, we say to people who have insomnia and they take magnesium for the insomnia and they say, well, I'm still not sleeping well enough. Well, you're not taking enough magnesium. But then if they take, you know, more, they get the laxative effect and then they stop. Or if they go to the drugstore and get the magnesium oxide, they can only take a pill or two before they get the laxative effect.
Right.
That's the big problem with magnesium prescribing and recommendations is people never can get enough to saturate, get rid of their head to toe symptoms, and then feel great.
And then you say to take it through the day, your pico magnesium, that's supposed to be like in water, and you sip on it through the day.
Yeah, it's a liquid product.
Okay.
So you're pouring your teaspoon or whatever into your sea salted water, and you could have something in there, juice or whatever, for the taste, because it is a strong taste. But sipping it through the day means that you're not overloading your cells and wasting it. You're just wasting it out the urine if you're cells aren't absorbing it.
Yeah.
So that's what sipping it through the day does.
That makes sense. Cause it's only like, it's like if you take too much vitamin C at once, right? If you take it mm-hmm. too much at once, right? Like you could have diarrhea, right?
But look at what we were taught about nutrition, that, oh, well, you know, you take magnesium and once you get the laxative effect, you've had enough and you just cut back a bit.
Yeah.
That's not true. I mean, I would be dead if I didn't, you know, find a magnesium that I could take 1,200 milligrams of. Because, one time I was like almost down to 90 pounds from diarrhea, trying to get my magnesium.
Yeah. Okay. Now
you can't use that.
Yeah. Okay. And okay. So then red blood cells, I just want to make sure I got all my questions. We talked about the forms. We talked about diseases related to magnesium deficiency. We talked about how much to take. We talked about the tests that you can get done, which was the red blood cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just regular blood work in through serum is not a great way. What about, I don't know, I just did an HTMA. Hair tissue mineral analysis. What do you think of that?
Well, I learned it in naturopathy. I think it's good for heavy metals.
Yes. Yeah.
It has the same problem of ranges. It can't tell you optimal. When I had my last hair test done, just to see, it was all the ratios were thrown off because my magnesium is so high and so perfect that all the ranges were off. The reader didn't know what to say about it. So they're operating and influencing the reading of it with a sick population model.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Like I said, I think it's important for heavy metals,
yep,
and, you know, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, and whatnot. But in terms of ratios, it can be off once you start optimizing your mineral intake.
Okay.
Because they're looking at sick ratios. And in terms of then telling people what to take. Well, okay, here's what annoyed me in the early years of hair mineral analysis is they, because I was working with autistic children, and we were worried about mercury and the vaccinations and this and that.
Yeah.
And they said something about in hair analysis, well, you know, the mercury can be high because they're eliminating it, or the mercury can be low because they're not eliminating it. And it's like, well, how do you know then what's going on? So there was a lot of iffiness about hair mineral testing. I think a lot of people who go into that field, they have to be a little bit psychic to know what's going on. So I did not find it to be quantifiable enough,
okay,
to use as a modality. I got really turned off of most testing, actually,
because of
what we have already said.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I've done a couple of different ones. I've heard good things about doctors' data, because mm-hmm, I believe what you're saying. It depends on, you know, where's the lab? Who's the lab? What, right? Because you would know that
sure,
that would, and I anyway, I was just curious about that. Okay, you wanted to talk about thyroid. Why? You know,
right,
that's my jam. I'll talk about thyroid all day.
Okay, now here's what's interesting, because we've been talking about total body meltdown and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
thyroid is very key. And what I did after I worked on the picometer magnesium is I said, okay, we've got to get stabilized ions of multiple minerals. So I worked on a formula. I put together 12 minerals. And as I was researching and looking, I said, oh my gosh, 9 of these minerals are necessary for thyroid hormone production.
Mm.
9 of them. Not just iodine, not just what's the next one? Selenium. It was boron and molybdenum and manganese and magnesium. It was copper. It was all the minerals. And what I did is, in testing the formula, 6 weeks into it, I was able to just stop my Armour thyroid 60 milligrams, and my hands and feet are still warm. And that's, you know, whatever, 6-7 years ago.
Wow.
So if you can get your minerals in, there's a sequence, I imagine, a sequence of how, oh yeah, let's take the T3, T4 thing, and let's add iodine here, and then it goes through a pathway, and then you add your selenium, and then you add, or not necessarily add, you're not adding, you're putting this cofactor in to create the next metabolic molecule of the thyroid hormone. And they don't work unless you have all the mineral. And
yeah,
nobody talks about this.
No.
But I've got thousands of people who say, yeah, I was able to get off my bits or that. But we're not allowed to talk about that, because the FDA would say we're practicing medicine.
But the fact
that's so important.
But isn't it true? Because here's a story that you might find interesting. You know how everybody's always like, oh, I'm going to buy this detox box off the shelf or whatever, and then they say it didn't work, or it makes you really sick or whatever. I've always found detoxing and drainage really interesting. But one thing that I've learned is that unless you have a really strong foundation of minerals, you should not be doing that stuff. You shouldn't be going, yeah, and buying a detox box. And I know of somebody who they tried, he was very, very ill, and they tried to do intense detoxing. He was older, and he passed away because his body was not strong enough to handle chelation, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when there's nothing there, like if you don't have that foundation of minerals there, and you try and chelate and do heavy detoxification, well, what's left, right?
Right. Yeah, I call it too toxic to detox.
Oh, that's a good term.
Yeah. Because, you know, what do? They purge your intestines, and that gets rid of your good bacteria. They purge your liver, and that will activate viruses that are hiding out in your liver before your immune system can take care of it.
Yes.
Your body knows the priorities, and you can't force it. And yes, the building blocks, like people who take the picometer magnesium and just do that for 2-3 months, often they'll come back to us and say, well, you know, I was really great. And then all of a sudden, you know, my bowels started acting up and I have a coated tongue and I've got this weird skin rash. What's going on? We say, oh, that's great. Your body is now fighting yeast.
Seriously,
the immune system now is strong enough to get rid of some of this yeast overgrowth. And then, okay, we'll add our Saccharomyces boulardii and probiotics and silver. We will add silver. Mm. And then that will balance out the yeast, because yeast has a purpose in the body. It breaks down stuff that we forget to break down with chewing and in our digestion. It has a place. But when it overgrows and it crawls up from the large intestine into the small intestine, turns from a budding stage into a thread, it'll poke holes in the small intestinal lining, cause leaky gut.
Yeah.
So that's leaky gut right there in my world. Whereas what have we done? We've ignored yeast that used to be big back in the day when Dr. William Crook was around. I was on a TV Ontario show with him in 1986, 90-minute show in the middle of a snowstorm. We had 80,000 calls into that show. People were just mesmerized.
About yeast?
About yeast.
Wow.
Awesome. Yeah. So, but it got pushed aside because it's so hard to treat. It used to be. But I think I've found the key. You know, the treatment of yeast used to be you couldn't eat anything.
Yeah.
You had to rotate herbs. It was terrible. I mean, I went through it because what was I on? Antibiotics when I was a kid, birth control pill, mercury fillings, you know, I had it all. So with the magnesium supporting your immune system, then the next priority for the body is yeast overgrowth. And then what is yeast doing? It's allowing Lyme disease to have a home. It's allowing bacteria and viruses to have a home. It's just creating this perfect little environment. So, you know, what I do is I look at yeast first and, you know, do just the building blocks to help the detox. I mean, I'm working with a methylated food-based B vitamin that also has some taurine and some methionine. Methionine is a precursor to glutathione.
Right.
Taurine keeps the bile soluble, so it doesn't build up in gallstones. So, you know, there's so many basic ways of looking at our nutrients that we all know are important, but what have we done? We've allowed them to go synthetic, and the minerals, we've allowed them to be dirt minerals. After I wrote The Magnesium Miracle and it came out, well, you know, Sandy, it was supposed to come out on 9/11 back in 2001. On that day, my book was supposed to come out. And I was living in, we were living in City Island, just off Manhattan at the time, thank goodness. But so the publishing industry shut down for 2 years and just focused on 9/11.
Right.
So anyway, when my book came out, I knew all the people in the magnesium supplement industry, and I tried to get them to do a non-laxative magnesium. and nobody was interested. Okay, so I know I keep talking, and I did want to say one more thing about the blood testing for magnesium. On an electrolyte panel, you will not see magnesium.
Why?
They don't trust the serum test. Like I said, the 0.75 to 0.95. Oh, it's always the same.
Because it's not significant.
Right. They do not put the most significant electrolyte on a panel. What do you see? Calcium chloride, sodium, potassium. Where's the magnesium?
Oh, yeah.
No wonder they don't think magnesium is important in medicine. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. But here's a question. How accurate would that be anyway with, you know, the calcium and sodium and all of the electrolytes in blood serum?
You mean how accurate are the other electrolytes?
Yeah, yeah.
They have a wider range. And they've moved to be doing, I think, I don't know about in Canada, to do ionized calcium. So they got that down. And calcium is important to look at, actually, because if you have high calcium, that's a trigger warning for parathyroid hormone tumors, the benign tumors of the parathyroid hormone that are related to calcium metabolism.
Right.
Okay. So I know the calcium, because of that, I know calcium is valid. And the others, I don't know if they're ionized, but
okay.
I mean, we used to do seesaw treatment during my hospital days. You know, someone would have a low potassium and we'd pump them up with potassium, and the next day, oh, now they got low sodium. Oh, pump them up. It was just horrible.
Seesaw.
Just horrible.
So really, you know, talking about minerals in general, we should be taking a good quality, because I do that, and you're going to laugh. I've made Solae water. I don't know if you know what that is. I've made that when you take a teaspoon in the morning and you drink it with, like, it's very hard to take. It doesn't taste so good. I've done that. And then usually with like a large glass of water, I'll do salt. Like a good quality salt under, like sublingually, I'll put a pinch under my tongue so that it kind of goes down with my water. And then we want to make sure that we have a nice balance of minerals, but magnesium always goes a little higher. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I tell people that. I say, keep your nutrients low potency and natural. But for magnesium, you really need to be, I mean, it's not even mega dosing. The RDA down here is like 350 to 420. I say 600. Calcium, they want women especially to take 1200 to 1500. I say 600. I say 1-to-1 ratio. In the UK, it's 500 or 600. The World Health Organization says the calcium intake should be 500 or 600. So I don't know why we're taking so much, because it is calcifying women.
Right.
Breast tissue calcification, DCIS, is from taking too much calcium.
Yes.
And we've got fortified foods. We've got orange juice that's fortified with calcium. So we've ended up calcifying our population. And at the same time, not giving them enough magnesium to solubilize the calcium, because magnesium will keep calcium in solution and will direct it to the bones. My vitamin D, I work with D3 and K2. Vitamin K2 is important to push the calcium into the bones and teeth.
And
I say a lot of people can get their calcium from their diet.
Yes.
When I used to eat some yogurt. I don't bother with yogurt much anymore. But say I get a quart of yogurt and I'd eat it over a couple of days. My leg cramps would come back because I had too much calcium and didn't balance it out with extra magnesium. And that's crazy, but that's what people will experience. It's like with we get people going out and, you know, having a full day of sun, and they'll get leg cramps because the vitamin D from the sun pulls their magnesium toward it to help activate vitamin D and pulls the magnesium out of circulation. So you start getting your magnesium deficiency symptoms back.
Oh, interesting. So interesting. And I know when I had that conversation with Linda Bolton, we were talking about that. She's like, it's very rare. If you eat a balanced diet, so we're not talking about vegans. We're talking about people who kind of like I am and see my t-shirt. It actually says it's all about the balance. You probably can't see it. And it's got a scale because I'm a big believer in eating whole real foods from diverse food groups. Mm-hmm. And so when Linda and I were talking about that, she's like, if you're eating a diet that's pretty balanced, you're probably getting enough calcium. There's no need to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I agree. Especially, yes, but I think it does have to include dairy. But the opposite is true for magnesium. 100 years ago, we were getting apparently 500 milligrams of magnesium in the diet, and now we're lucky to get 200.
Right. And that isn't
not in the
It's not in the soil, right? Like, is that why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's not in the soil. The glyphosate, that horrible whatever it is on the soil, herbicide, it binds up minerals and makes them unavailable.
Gone.
So then, you know, we don't have it in the soil, it's not in the plants, and if there's any in the plants, you process it out. And when we moved here and I got involved with this farm, Ocoa Farms, I said, okay, let me try an experiment. So I took all the farm food, and I might have eaten eggs, but I got all my magnesium deficiency symptoms back in spite of eating huge salads and all the produce from the farm. You know, I just, maybe, as I said earlier, maybe there's something about my genetics or whatever that makes me more needy of magnesium, but I'm surviving excellently now on about 450 milligrams. If I take 600 milligrams, I start getting the laxative effect.
Right.
So is it the stress? Is it the EMFs? Look what EMFs do.
Yeah.
EMFs keep there's this gated calcium gating system where the gate that magnesium opens and closes is open if you're magnesium deficient and all the calcium gets in. Apparently that gate is opened up with EMF. And I know people who, you know, say they have problems with EMFs if they do get saturated with pico magnesium, then they say they don't seem to have the problems. Vitamin C is also important. So there are ways that we can become deficient, but there are ways out of it. We can't stop, as you said right at the beginning, you can't stop looking and learning and researching.
Yeah.
That's why there are so many biohackers, Sandy.
Yeah. I'm one of them. The fact is that whatever is stated for general health doesn't work for me. And I gotta look. I'm a seeker. I'm a lifelong learner. I'm gonna constantly learn how, because I feel and I think I look younger than I did when I was 41 and I had thyroid cancer. Like, I feel a lot better. I think I look better. I have more vitality. I mean, I had little kids at that time. Let's face facts. Like, that's never easy, right? But still, I was very sick when I was in my early 40s, and I didn't understand why. I had all my doctors saying, don't worry. We're going to take out your whole thyroid. You're going to take one pill for the rest of your life, and you're going to be fine. And I was so not fine. And so this is where I say to people, critical thinking. So that's when I started doing my research. This is before I even went back to college. I started doing my research. I'm like, I got to figure this out. I can't live my life like this, right?
Right. Well, good for you, because look what you've done. You know, you look beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you're helping people. Yeah.
That's
wonderful.
That's my mission in life. And, you know, I really appreciate this chat with you. We're now hitting close to an hour and a half. So I would love for you to let me know if there's anything you didn't, you missed or you want to mention.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so much. But, yeah, I think we covered
a lot.
And I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. I like the long form.
Yeah.
Maybe one last anecdote. When I lived in Manhattan and was doing the research and started my writing, I used to be on The View as their alternative medicine expert.
Oh, I love that.
So I did a lot of appearances on The View. But as soon as they adopted direct-to-consumer TV advertising for drugs, I was fired.
No.
What does a contract with the drug companies for direct-to-consumer TV advertising say? We don't want anyone else on the show that's going to be anti-drugs.
Or compete, right? And let's face facts. That's what's going on in Canada. I'm going to call it for what it is, but that's what's going on in Canada.
Yeah.
You know?
So I guess we're back to kind of where we started, that we have to take responsibility, know that we're in our own power, help one another, but help yourself first.
Yeah.
I mean, on the plane, it's like, Don't put the mask on someone else. Put it on yourself first. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
We have to stay strong.
Yes. Well, I really appreciate you, Carolyn. It's just been such a pleasure. And I can't wait for this to come out. It's going to be a great conversation for people to hear.
Well, I appreciate you and thank you very much. Mahalo from Maui.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to share it with someone you know might benefit. And always remember, when you rate, review, subscribe, you help to support my content and help me to keep going and bringing these conversations to you each and every week. Join me next week for a new topic, new guest, new exciting conversations to help you live your best life.